So as everybody's sitting down, you'll notice that we asked the deans to do some slides about what's going on at their campus and with their faculty. And these will roll through. This is the first time that we've done this, so we'll see how it works. We have some of our deans who are sick and unable to speak, and others of them would like to give their time to Dean Carmichael since it is her last Senate meeting. So I hope everybody had a good drive today. Oh, sorry. I hope everybody had a good drive today. Can we hear me now? Better? Okay. In the rain and getting to here. I'm calling us to order. I have a gavel. There, happened. See? Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and start with a report from our chancellor, Dr. Susan Elkins.
Better get my ears going this morning, right? Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Hey. So lots of us, enjoyed a great drive this morning down to beautiful USC Sockahatchee here in Allendale. So it's great to see everybody. And I know we have slides. I actually don't have slides today since I had a lot of slides the last time. So I'm going to be very brief. But I think as I'm talking, you're going to see lots of other things going on the screen. So, as I said, good morning. Thanks for being here today. And as always, let me begin by thanking our host, Dean Carmichael, and the USC Sockahatchee team for their very gracious hospitality. You know, every time we come down here or go to any of the other campuses, we know we're all treated extremely well. So thank you all for everything that you've done to welcome us this morning. Also, I never want to begin my remarks without thanking each one of you for your efforts working with the Senate. We all know this is a lot of work. It's a lot of travel, as many of you can attest who got up at 4 o'clock this morning in order to drive all the way across the state of South Carolina. So please know how much we all appreciate your work each and every day with the Senate. So this morning, I'll be brief. Since I was pretty winded at the last meeting, I'll be brief and just share 5 quick items with you. Now, first, as we're thanking Sockahatchee for hosting us, I think I would certainly be remiss if I didn't begin by thanking Dean Carmichael for all of her work as dean. Most of you know that she announced that she is retiring at the end of this semester. I don't know, something like playing tennis and traveling around might be calling Dean Carmichael, but we owe her a huge thank you for her outstanding work as dean for the last 14 years, and she's been with the university about 28 years. So, Dean Carmichael, we wish you the very best, and we thank you so much for everything that you've done to make Sockahatchee the wonderful campus that it is today. So let's give Dean Carmichael a big round of applause, please. So you all are probably asking the next question, so what about the search for the next dean? So let me share with you that the process is underway with an outstanding committee. There's some folks in the room that are actually serving on the committee. We are very blessed to have the excellent leadership of Ms. Paula Harper Bethay as chair of the committee. For those of you who don't know, Paula is the chief advancement officer and special advisor to the president Harris Bastides, and Paula is a proud USC Sockahatchee alumna. She did her first 2 years at Sockahatchee and she's done extremely well then after transferring to Columbia. She's a fine example of what the quality student that you all produce every day at our 2-year campuses. So we'll keep you posted as the search continues. Second, while I'm on the subject of retirements, I'm sure all of you've heard the news that President Pastides and our wonderful First Lady have announced that they will retire as of July 31st, 2019. So this is the last year for the Pastides team, and the search committee has been appointed. I won't read all the names, but what I do need to share with you is that the search committee membership is dictated by the bylaws of the Board of Trustees. So there's not a lot of flexibility. The bylaws spell out exactly who would be on it, and that all of the university campuses would be represented by one member. Dr. Reinhart may have a little more to say about that later in the day, but as I said, the committee has been appointed. I don't think they've met yet. I don't think anything else has been done, but they are beginning the search process for our new president. Third, I always talk to you about enrollment because we know that students is why we're all here. And also, as we think about the bottom line, in a state where we receive only about 10% of our funding from the state, tuition revenue is what makes our campuses very solvent. So I'm thrilled to let you know that we continue to see some good news and some record enrollments. I think, Dean Catalano would probably be aggravated at me if I didn't say that USC Union has a record enrollment again this year. For the first time, they're over 1,000, just under 1,100. Now, the two look-alike deans that are often confused for each other are sitting side by side, and I think we have a little competition going on. So USC Sumter is right over that 1,100 mark in the competition. And that's the first time Sumter's been over 1,100 since 2010. So Sumter's coming up out of the ground and rising and chasing that 1245 record that they've had and they're getting very close to. USC Sockahatchee is in the 900s, about where they were last year. And USC Lancaster is down slightly after losing some dual credit offerings, but that's following a record headcount last year. So last year, USC Lancaster was over 1,900 for the first time in their history. So some good news about enrollment. Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our online programs continue to grow. The headcount this year was on census was at 1,070, the first time in the fall semester to be over 1,000. And last year's final headcount was only 981, so up almost 100 from last year. And that's coupled with we're now over 1,200 graduates in the online programs. Our number of graduates is 1,234. So good things with enrollment. A fourth item, I think all of you will be pleased, and you'll hear more about this later in the day, but the salary study committee has met for the first time. I think they had a very good, fairly lengthy meeting post-Hurricane Michael, post-Hurricane number two. So the salary committee met for about, I think you were going to meet from like 10 to 2, and I think it went on to about like 2 or 3 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock. So a good lengthy discussion on the salary committee, and I'm really pleased and want to thank those who are willing to serve on that committee to help us look at faculty and staff salaries, not only for how we distribute the $100,000 that's being made available this year, but at what we do in the future as we plan for how to address any salary issues that we do find. Then finally, a last bit of good news. We are thrilled to announce that Palmetto College was recently awarded just under $500,000, $478,556 for a 2018 USDA Rural Development Distance Learning and Telemedicine Grant. So some of you may remember that we applied for a distance learning grant last year from USDA Rural Development to upgrade our interactive television classrooms. We weren't successful last year, but we tried again. So in year two, we've been successful in getting nearly $500,000 to upgrade our classrooms. And I know we're all thrilled to make sure that quality of instruction is as good as it can possibly be. So a huge shout out to Bob Dyer, who is not with us today, but Bob, as you all know, does distance learning for all of Palmetto College. He was the lead. Dean Carmichael was the dean who took the lead in that as well. And lots of other people worked on the grant, but Bob and Dean Carmichael really did a stellar job in trying to help us make sure we got that $500,000. So with that said, I will close. And again, thank you, as always, for all your work with the Senate, and let you know again how much we appreciate all your efforts. So thank you very much.
It's awesome to hear about that grant, right? Okay. So Dean, was Walt Collins? Okay. We will go ahead and have the Associate Dean, Ron Cox,
I think Dr. Collins has submitted his report electronically, wanted me to touch on a couple of things. Chancellor Elkins mentioned the enrollment figures. We have just hired a new Director of Student Life at USC Lancaster, Ms. Carly Christian, who is also an alumna of USCL. We are currently searching for faculty members in computer science and sociology, and have just recently, I think, had an approval to replace our physics professor. And we are also seeking permission to hire faculty in biology, chemistry, and in psychology. Dr. Betty Obie Johnson and Professor Jill Castillo received a Horizon grant for lab support and enhancements for the chemistry program down at A.J. Andrew Jackson High School. Dr. Stephen Criswell was awarded a $3,000 virtual environments grant from the Center for Teaching Excellence. And our archivist, Professor Brent Bergen, was just recently honored and recognized by the South Carolina Archival Association through the establishment of an endowed scholarship fund called the Brent Bergen Endowment to help archivists learn their craft. We have a fall open house tomorrow on campus. The USC Lancaster players are going to be presenting Clue. And we are also in the middle of establishing a 60th anniversary committee, of which I am finding out now I am a member. Okay. Learn something new every day. And you can ask me questions, but it's Walt's report, so I don't know that I'll have any answers, but I can make up something that sounds good. And Ann, it's good to be home. 26 years ago, I made my first trip down 321 and interviewed right in that corner. And the university has regretted it ever since.
Thank you, Dean Cox. And now we'll introduce our home dean, Dean Ann Carmichael.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought at first when I was given a little extra time, I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm retiring. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm the oldest dean, but I'm not. And so now I think it is because we're the host. So anyway, I just will take a few extra minutes. And so glad to host this event and have you here today. I would be remiss, though, before I did my report, to not acknowledge some of the people who handled all the logistics. I think everybody in this room who hosts this know that the smoother it appears to go, the more work goes behind the scenes. So I want to thank Margaret, Chasta. We've got some of our men's baseball team back there. I think they were showing you around your way. Thank you guys for coming out on a Friday morning when you don't usually have to get up that early. Appreciate it. So anyway, I appreciate the team that put this together for us. The fall semester's been a busy one for us, like it has for you, and I'll just share a few of the highlights. The annual scholarship banquet was held on October 8th. We had over 150 attend this event, in which 113 scholarships totaling $130,000 was awarded. Students from Allendale County Schools attended campus events in October commemorating the Nuclear Science Week and launching our University of Possibilities event. The NJCAA Regional Soccer Tournament was held on the Saucatchie campus the week of October 26th. And Palmetto Rural Telephone Cooperative featured USC's Saucatchie's Nursing Program Partnership and the creation of our new high-fidelity SIM lab on the cover of their fall magazine. There are a few copies over there if you'd like to see this. And the neat thing is it's being distributed to 11 counties in our region. On the academic front, Dr. Sarah Miller and Dr. David Dangerfield had roles in the documentary film The Burnt Church, an exploration of Pon Chapel of Ease. Dr. Miller served as the historical consultant on the film, while Dr. Dangerfield was the South Carolina history scholar. And the film was produced by Savannah River Archaeology Research Program. That's a tongue twister. Anyway, so we're excited about that one. Dr. Aaron Ard co-authored a paper which was presented at Atlantic Marketing Association Conference, and it's also published in the proceedings. Dr. Rod Stewart participated on a panel at the 10th Biannual Conference of the Swedish Association for American Studies in Stockholm in September. Dr. Brian Lai and Dr. Aaron Kilpatrick co-presented at USC Columbia's Oktoberfest, a celebration of teaching. Dr. David Hatch presented at Clifton University's Conference on Contemporary English and Language Pedagogy in Secondary and Post-Secondary Institutions in October. And Dr. Hatch, along with Francis Burns, is also advising the newly formed Fencing Club teaching student safety, footwork, parries, attacks, and point controls. So we're kind of excited about bringing fencing to our students. The Sacoachee women's basketball team kicked off their first season to a packed house on November 6th. Dr. Elkins joined us to kick off this season, and we received well wishes from Coach Don Staley, which was kind of cool to share with the students. So it was a doubleheader, and the students did quite well. So we're excited about having women's basketball. Dr. Larry Strong, who's a professor emeritus, has worked with the Department of Archaeology to donate artifacts to USC Sacoachee for a new display that will be next to our topper display over in the library. There'll be a reception this afternoon to honor Dr. Strong and also to unveil the exhibit. So if you're still here, please join us and thank Dr. Strong for his contribution. Lastly, since this is my last Senate meeting, I wanted to take the opportunity just to tell you how much I appreciate what you do and the people, the students whose lives you touch. Some of you know this, but some may not. I took my very first course at one of our USC campuses, USC Union. And so I think it's only fitting that after, what, six colleges later, and 40 years of being in higher ed, that I come for full circle and finish my career here at one of our beloved Palmetto College campuses. So I think I'm a testament to the difference this system and your commitment makes in the lives of our students. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was really cool how the slides actually were in perfect order with what you were saying. I found that impressive, sorry. All right, Dean Sontag, did you want to speak?
I don't need to, it's all up there.
All right.
But I will.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so the slides are also rolling through. Pay attention to those.
Actually, it's not that song.
Just kidding. Let's just do escape, see how that works. Yeah, I'm not sure where it was at.
It's this one?
Yeah, that one final.
Okay.
Yep. If you just double click.
All right, we're going to go to slideshow.
Mm-hmm. And then just from beginning.
Thank you. I wonder if I can cheat. Can I make them go faster? Or get to us. Yay. Let's see, where do I want to start? We have, and on one of these slides here in a minute, I'm not going to talk about that one, John. Faculty accomplishments we had between last meeting and this, we had eight faculty who presented or published or some other accomplishment, 15 different accomplishments, some grants in there. And we're always very proud of the work that the faculty and staff do. In terms, and I'll keep this real short, we had a awards recognition ceremony last week where we celebrated students, faculty, and staff awards, and I'll highlight a few because you're here. Bianca Rowlett received the SGA Teacher of the Year Award for the second year in a row. Dan Kiernan received the Hugh T. Stoddard Senior Outstanding Faculty Award. There's Dan. Mary Ellen Belanca was the inaugural recipient of the Jean-Luc Grosso Award for Outstanding Faculty Scholarship. We established that after Jean-Luc passed away and gave it out for the first time this year. And then Aaron Duffy, who put my presentation together for me today, received the H.D. Barnett Senior Outstanding Staff Award. So very proud of our faculty and staff. We had a scholarship recognition luncheon Back in October, we celebrated over $92,000 in scholarships given out and the establishment of 3 new endowed scholarships over the last year. So we're very happy about that. Our science building, many of you know, has been in the planning to be renovated. We get the final documents in the next week, which means it'll go out to bid, and we hope to start that work mid-spring in part of the science building. This has been the year of HVAC problems. All the staff here know that. We have a chiller that's gone out in one building, various AC units, so we're doing all sorts of work with HVAC. We're also doing considerable upgrades to carpet and painting and things of that nature on campus. So it's really the year of a lot of deferred maintenance. I think other than the enrollment, that was the only big items. Any questions? Good, thanks.
Thank you very much. Dean Catalano is not able to speak today, and some of us are happy about that for once. Just kidding. All right. So do we have any report from Union at all? Okay. So the slides are up there, and they're rolling through for Union. And that would be everything we have for this morning. So we're ready to go. We can do it now. I seem to skip you. This is the second time I've done this. You need to just yell at me and say, Chris, stop. No, let's go ahead and do it now, please. Sorry.
Good morning, everybody. For continuity's sake, I can start with the dean's report, although you can see a lot of stuff up here, some of the great things going on at Extended University. I would, however, want to add, if I could, one thing about a faculty accomplishment that didn't make it to the slide, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but Julia Elliott developed a course that she's currently offering in conjunction with the Nickelodeon Theater that involves a curation of some films that have been open to the public as well as students in her course, and it's gotten a good bit of media attention in Columbia. At the Free Times, I don't know who else may have covered it. And the subject, I'll probably get this wrong, Julia, is on the monstrous feminine in film. So congratulations to you on that. It's wonderful. again, a lot of the things related to Extended University are here for you to read. So very briefly, I'll just update you on some things I mentioned at the last Senate meeting related to academic affairs. I mentioned that the entrepreneurship track in the BOL had been sent back to us because there is currently a minor in entrepreneurship with the business school. And since then, I've gotten a letter of concurrence and support from the Darla-Moore School of Business to allow us to go forward. So I am confident and hopeful that that will be approved at the last Columbia Senate meeting of the year this semester. I also mentioned last time that the provost office was considering whether or not to turn the switch on for Blackboard Ally, which they're calling, giving it a different name, not compliance assist, that's SACS, but accommodations assistant or something to that effect. But I explained what Blackboard Ally was last time. It has been decided that it will go live in January, so if you have a course that uses Blackboard, you will see, starting January, the gauges that I mentioned that will show you whether items that you've posted that students have access to are accessible per ADA. And again, those gauges are only visible to you, not to your students, and you can actually turn them off. I've learned that. But there will be some training on this forthcoming that will be in the form of videos and some other things that you can do on your own time. And I guess if you turn it off, it's kind of like taking the battery out of your smoke alarm. You know, I don't know if that's the best idea, but you know, you can do it. So, lastly, assessment. Just wanted to kind of update you guys on some things there. If you teach history or if you teach one of the social sciences, as I mentioned last time, we are collecting artifacts for assessment of our associate's degrees this fall, And if you have not already been contacted by one of our specialty team chairs, you will be shortly to explain how the assessment process will work this fall. Those two chairs happen to be with us, so I'll just thank them, John Peake, Ron Cox, for social science and history, respectively, have been leading the effort there, along with Latrice Ratcliffe-Smalls. They've developed a training video. It's a short video, I think it's 8-10 minutes, something like that, that they'll be sending out to you via email if you teach those courses that have been identified for assessment. And by the way, you know, not every course is assessed, so if you teach one of those courses and you don't see the video or the email, that's intentional. And we are not asking any one faculty member to do artifact submission for any more than one of their sections. So even if you teach all Carolina Core courses this fall, you're not going to be asked to do more than anybody else. You're just going to be asked to do one section of that. And that's it for my report. If anybody has any questions about anything, and if not, thank you.
Did I miss anything? Anything else? Okay. I think we can go into standing committees right now then. Executive committee is room 107. The deans are in the dean's conference room. Looks like in this building, and the executive committee is in this building. I'm not sure where the Welcome Center and the library and academic support conference rooms are, but I know there are several SAC people around that can, where hopefully some people can help you get to where you're going. Okay, and we will meet in the atrium for lunch at 12. So thank you, and hope we have some good committee work. Thank you.